From the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all you fathers a wonderful and safe Father's Day. We hope that your family will be with you and that you'll have a not just today, but of course appreciated as a father and most importantly as a godly father. And that's what we want to study this morning. An example of a godly man. This was not the biological father of Jesus, of course. We know Joseph, the husband of Mary. But he would have been a good father to his biological children. And as Jesus was growing up, no doubt, he was a good example as Jesus was a young boy, and we can appreciate that. So let's study together Joseph the carpenter, a godly man. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And as we remember the initials PFE, that helps us stay focused on the most important thing we could be doing. And so at this time, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes, of course, to study God's precious Word. And then as we come together in the assembly, we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But we also need to have a proper attitude, and that would be in spirit, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we look forward to setting those up at your convenience. If you're interested in a Bible correspondence course, we have those available, of course, free as well. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, you can send us those questions and comments. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get to our study this morning. Joseph the carpenter, a godly man. And we know that Mary, chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world, was truly a godly mother. Now, not as much is said about Joseph, her husband, as he was not in the forefront, but what is said is extremely important. And we want to emphasize that Joseph was truly a godly father, even though he was not the actual physical father of Jesus, as we mentioned earlier. Notice Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We all should remember Isaiah 7:14, very important prophecy of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. So, we're going now to Matthew chapter 1. Notice verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, that is the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, or privately. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, here it is, the prophecy of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child. It's actually the virgin. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from a sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we know, again, that Joseph was the biological father of four sons and at least two daughters. Let's look at Matthew 13:55-56. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So we know that the Catholic Church does not believe Joseph and Mary had biological children, because they teach Mary remained a virgin all her life. And that would not be true, of course, if you stay with what God's Word says. You can see Mark 6:3 as well. Galatians 1:19, James, the brother of the Lord, half-brother, of course. So let's stay with the Scriptures, and we'll be able to have the truth and not fall for false doctrine. But I want us to get into the study now of Joseph, a godly man, not only a carpenter, which was an honest trade, but a godly man, and thus a good example for us to look at here, especially on Father's Day. In Matthew 1:19, we see that, again, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So he's a man of principle, honest. No doubt he was honest as his work as a carpenter. You know, it's very important to be just, as this is a qualification to be an elder in the Lord's church, Titus 1:8. But a lover of hospitality, again, Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Just, that's a godly characteristic, is it not? And of course, fathers, we should set a proper example. Let's look at Proverbs 20:7. Proverbs 20:7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And that's what we all should desire. Should that not be the case? Of course. Now, fathers should be just and honest, but this in itself is not enough. We must be just before God. Let me emphasize that. You can have fathers that are just and honest, but again, if not just before God, then that's not enough. It was said of Cornelius before he had obeyed the gospel of Christ. Here's an example. Acts 10:22. Acts 10:22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. So he was a just man. He feared God. But he had not learned the truth yet. And he did. he and his household, and they all obeyed the gospel. And of course, he became, as well as his family, his household, Christians, added to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. Now let's look at Romans 2, verse 13. Romans 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And this, of course, is referring to the law of Christ, which we are under, whether we have obeyed or not. But let's notice another quality about Joseph. Joseph was a man of compassion. You see, he was not willing to make Mary a public example, but he was minded to put her away in a private manner. He wasn't going to make a spectacle of Mary before others, no. You see, Joseph had fears that Mary had been unfaithful, and therefore he didn't want to take her to be his wife, but he was going to treat her, you know, very compassionately. So here's a lesson, though, on this, is that he didn't know the facts before making a decision. So that's what he was going to do, but fortunately, he did not have to do that because of the truth that was revealed to him. So we need to learn facts before making very important decisions, do we not? Now, according to the law of Moses, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. Of course, they were under the Roman government, and they weren't permitted to do that themselves. But again, Joseph sought to protect Mary. Look at John 8:4-5. John 8:4-5. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Well, they were referring to Deuteronomy 22:13-21 and Leviticus 20:10-21. You see, they wanted to put Jesus in between a rock and a hard place. Remember this situation? And Jesus stooped down and rolled on the ground, and then he asked, He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they left one by one until there was no more accusers. But Jesus told the woman to go and sin no more. He did not excuse her sin, of course not. But according to the law of Moses, that was the case. Now, about stoning. So we need to appreciate Joseph was a man of compassion. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, I want us to look at this. Luke 2:48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Well, Jesus remained behind. Remember, in the temple, he was teaching. And his Joseph and Mary did not realize he didn't leave with them as they left Jerusalem. So they went back, of course, and found him. But the point is, they were sorry. They were sorrowing. And so this is showing compassion that Joseph obviously had, as well as Mary, of course. So we as fathers should have compassion and concern for our families, especially for their spiritual condition, as we need to have, you know, concern for the lost. Of course, our Lord is a God of compassion. Let's look together at Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenitous in mercy and truth. Well, you know what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 7 of Matthew 5? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's never forget that. In 1 Peter 3:8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Love as brethren, of course, but having compassion with one another. That's important too, as well as the love. Now let's notice another characteristic of Joseph as we go on in our study. Joseph was a man of obedience. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, as we know the Holy Spirit. So this is verse 20 of Matthew 1. And you see in verse 24, here's the results of what the angel was saying to Joseph in the dream. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So he obeyed. And we can see another example. This is Matthew 2, 13 through 14. Matthew 2, 13 and 14. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Remember, King Herod, fearing that the Messiah was going to threaten his throne, and that wasn't true. Jesus didn't come to set up a physical kingdom and take a physical throne. No, he came to set up a spiritual kingdom and take the throne in heaven as King of Kings. Let's understand that. Herod didn't. But notice verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Again, an example of Joseph, a man of obedience. And go down to verses 19 now through 21. 19 through 21 in Matthew 2. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. So, you see, Joseph was not a father who stayed at home and let Mary take the children to the synagogue. I want us to go now to Luke chapter 2, 22. Luke 2, 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. You see, Joseph was a man of obedience. He was obeying the law of Moses as best he could. Now I want us to notice something else as fathers, to examine ourselves and ask, what kind of example am I to my children? Am I obeying God and setting the proper example? You know, here's something to note. Joseph's words are not recorded in the Bible, but this serves as a great lesson for us. One can be a very faithful and effective servant of the Lord without being a great spokesman. That's right. Now, Hebrews 11:4, I want us to see this. Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying unto his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Well, here's a question. what will be said after my death, after your death. That's something to think about, isn't it? Well, let's go on in our study of Joseph, a godly man, and see another godly characteristic, and that is in Matthew 1:25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was a man of self-discipline, self-control. Now, again, as we saw earlier, Joseph and Mary had children later, Matthew 13:55-56. Teaching that Mary remained a virgin is just not in accordance to the scriptures. And of course, that would have put a hardship on Joseph, of course. But he was a man of self-discipline. And, you know, to think about being a godly father today, well, do we have self-discipline? Temperance is self-control, isn't it? And this is what's to be added to our faith, 2 Peter 1:6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. So in adding the Christian graces, that's something we want to be sure that we're in accordance to, having self-control, self-discipline, which is temperance. And think about, without discipline, what's going to happen? Well, one is going to give way to the fleshly desires. Look at 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those are the three avenues of temptation, and two of them are lusting. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And of course, the pride of life, thinking one can be their own God. So let's avoid that, those temptations, and draw nigh unto God, and Satan will flee from us. Now, Felix, here's an example of a man who did not practice self-discipline. Acts 24:25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Do we ever read about that convenient season? I don't recall seeing that in the scriptures. Felix was a man who had another man's wife. And so when Paul reasoned of righteousness and self-control, as we know the word temperance, that's referring to self-control, self-discipline, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Well, it shook him up. It pricked his conscience, no doubt, what Paul was teaching him in reasoning. But the problem was, Felix wanted Paul then to go thy way this time. And when that convenient season comes, then that's when he's going to call for Paul. And that's the problem, procrastination. We don't see that that worked out for Felix, do we? But let's notice another characteristic before our time is up. Joseph, as a godly man, was a man of good citizenship. Now we're going to see this in Luke 2:1-5. 1-5 of Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary and his espoused wife, being great with child. So we know Joseph was in the royal line, Matthew chapter 1, you can see that, the lineage. And then, of course, Mary was in the bloodline in Luke's account. So both of them were of the tribe of Judah, which was the tribe of Christ. And thus you can see, though, here is an example of being a good citizen and paying one's taxes. And that's something we all should do if we are making money and earning money. Now, some folks are not in the situation of having to pay taxes, so we won't want to mention that. But still, we need to be good citizens, all of us, appreciate all these characteristics of Joseph. As we've seen, he was just. He's going to be an honest carpenter, and he's treating other people justly, as certainly he did with Mary, and honest. You know, honesty is the best policy. How many of us were taught that by our parents? He was compassionate. He didn't want to embarrass Mary. And obedient. We saw that several times in the scriptures. To all of God's commands, he's one who exercises self-discipline, and he's a good citizen, and he's living to the glory of God is the point. And now we ask ourselves, fathers, what kind of influence are we having on our families, our children, our wives? Not that we have more than one wife, but you understand what I mean by that in talking about fathers in general. And, of course, to our neighbors, our co-workers, our brethren. What kind of influence do I have? And, of course, you asked yourself the same question. What is our top priority? Is it physical or spiritual? We want to be sure that we're prepared for eternity. That's the most important thing, is it not? To prepare to be with God for all eternity? It's not just a, you know, vacation time. It's forevermore. When this life is over, we want to be prepared for our death when that comes, or when the Lord comes again, by obeying the gospel, first of all. When we die, we go to paradise and await the second coming, and so we're looking forward. You know, that's a good place to wait for the Lord's coming. But here's something to mention. If you've never obeyed the gospel, what would be the reason for not obeying the gospel? Can you give one? Well, we're standing ready to assist you in doing so by hearing the truth. That's how our faith comes, believing Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, making a change of wills, making the good confession unto salvation, and then being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, contacting His precious blood in that watery grave, being added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself, the Church of Christ, as you read about in the Bible. Now we're going to do what? We're going to remain faithful, even if it meant our death, and we'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.